It is 9 o'clock. We'll call the meeting to order as soon as we get everybody seated. Is there any updates to the agenda?
To you, Mr. Chair. Administration has an agenda item to add. It's an emergent in-camera item regarding a budget adjustment request for surface stabilization of Township Road 242. As well, administration has two agenda items that we've removed from the agenda, agenda item C1 and agenda item J1, and the applicant for both has been advised of this.
And they wish to halt. Good. So do we need a motion to yes, I guess we do. So can I get a motion to that effect? Deputy Reeve Cottrell.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the agenda as amended.
Thank you. All in favor? That is carried. Confirmation of minutes for June 26th council meeting. Anyone? Deputy Reeve Cottrell.
There was one. It was just in a motion, and I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get to it. Where it was scratched out from must to shall, I believe it was. It was in red. Is that normal on our minutes? I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking the question.
Do you know what page?
Sorry, Mr. Reeve, I don't.
That was us.
Page 3 and 5. That was Al's
motion.
I think it just, too, Mr. Chair, I think it just printed in red, but the originals will just be in black.
Thank you for that. Then I'd like to move the minutes as presented.
Thank you. All in favor? That is carried, and we'll go directly to item D1.
Good morning, Council. Coral McCullough, Manager for Recreation and Community Services. Item D1 is a report in response to the notice of motion that was brought forward on June 12th by Councillors Kissel and Hansen. Consequently, for reference, it is Attachment A of the report. The purpose today is to advise that lands leased by the Cochrane District Agricultural Society do not exist on the disposal list and will not be disposed of unless a council resolution is passed. With that said, council has the full discretion to remove proposed assets from the recommended disposal list when this list is circulated annually. Lands leased by the CDAS are not on this disposal list, and again, that has to be clarified accordingly because it does change the nature of the motion. Now, just a little bit of background that needs to be discussed, and again, taking a look at the land itself was back in 1999, Rocky View County acquired the 146-acre parcel of lands in exchange with the provincial government in order to create open space for the development of an ice arena and riding arena. In 2000, the county signed a 25-year lease agreement with the Cochrane District Agricultural Society. And in 2015, the Society sought a 50-year lease extension to better secure funding for future expansion and repairs. This is found as request is made or outlined in Attachment B within the report. With that, Rocky View County did pass a motion on January 27th of 2016 to allow interested buyers to submit proposals to purchase land currently occupied by the Society. This motion precluded administration from accepting the Society's request for lease extension. On March 20th, the Society stated publicly that they would support the sale of the lands if the following three conditions were met. One, there was a replacement property of 120 acres or more secured. Second, the new location of land would be in relative proximity to the current site and be able to continue serving users and user groups. And third, that sufficient funds were in place to replace all existing Agricultural Society facilities. No proposals for sale met the county's needs, hence the matter was closed in December of 2016. Now, the Society is in the process of dealing with the term of lease coming to expiration in 2025, and it presented its business plan to the Policy and Priorities Committee on May 1st, 2018. This report advocates for relocation in the northeast corner of Horse Creek Road and Township Road 262, which is 128 acres now owned by the town of Cochrane. Once the current lease expires in 2025, they expect that the facility replacement will be funded entirely with the county's land sale proceeds that would be enabled or be possible at that time. For discussion today and consideration of this report, because these lands were annexed and are within Cochrane's corporate boundaries, the town has the ultimate authority over land use and may wish to conserve this area as an environmental park in order to maintain the existing level of recreation services. This has been outlined in their open space master plan approved in 2012. At the May 16, 2018 intermunicipal committee that existed or occurred between the town of Cochrane and Rocky View County, elected officials agreed in principle that further discussion and collaboration is required in order to review options for best public value. These discussions will likely include a review of community recreation needs and the relationship with open space planning for the provision of clearer direction to the society and the public. With that said, that concludes the report. Unless there's alternative direction, administration recommends a need for further intermunicipal discussion regarding recreation provision and long-term planning regarding the site, and therefore recommends option number two. Again, I am now available for questions, and there's also other members of administration in attendance that may be able to be better answer specific questions regarding the site and prior sale process.
Thank you. Councillor Shule.
Just a question. How much taxpayer money has gone into this land so far? Do we have any idea?
As far as the indications and the grant eligibility, I don't have a firm number for you right now because we don't have a specific. The land itself is different from the programs and some of the investments. So it's over a couple $100,000 that's been allocated over the course of time. But as far as a firm number, I can get that for you by the end of the day.
I wouldn't mind that because I know when I was on council before, I can remember there's applications quite often for grants and there was quite a bit. So I really would like to know that. Thank you.
Again, through the chair, and to clarify, there are firm numbers that went into the investment in the pole barn several years ago. And again, I'd have to get those numbers. All the funding that has been going to the society and the supporting group since then has gone into both programs and any infrastructure that could be removed in likelihood of sale. So, again, I'd be able to get that number for you.
Any further questions? Councillor McKeiler.
Thank you. I actually have a few questions. I just want to go through the items on the original motion and so that I clearly understand everything. In 1999, this was given to the county for a dollar. The report indicates there actually was, another cost involved. Could I understand how Rocky View County acquired this land and for how much money?
Through the chair, to answer your question, and I was able to track down the roll file the other day to get the background information, to understand exactly how the land transfer occurred. And to take a look at the history of the land, it was owned by a Calgary resident back in 1927. And the province took over the land through tax default sale. And they ended up getting the land, which was under Crown title up until 1997, if I believe I'm accurate. Under the Tax Act, the municipality could apply for title and get it back. So therefore, it transferred from the province to the county at that time. And then the need for the land swap was required in order to create land for recreation development, and therefore the county was able to swap that land back, the 160 acres of the original title, back to the province to be able to get the lands that the society currently resides on. They were able to do that land transfer for a dollar. So there was no actual money other than the dollar, just for the sake of the transaction, that actually transferred hands for the title of the lands accordingly. Hopefully that makes sense because it went from the province to the county back to the province through the process.
So it doesn't make sense actually, but where's the $308,000 coming in from? So the number in the report, where does that come from?
Yeah, as far as when the land swapped, as far as I understand, when the land was swapped in 1999, the best information within the file outlines that they assigned a value of the new lands based on the provincial assessment of the 160 acres they were taking possession of, and that was at $308,000 or what's listed within the report. So So that was the acquisition, excuse me, the land assessment at that time of those lands.
So we gave up land to get this land, and the land that we gave up was worth $308,000. Is that, do I understand that correct?
From the information that I read in the file, that is correct.
And was there a requirement at the time of that land swap to retain this for park? Was there any conditions on that land swap?
When the land was swapped, the society already had a lease, as I understand it, a recreational lease with the province, and there was an at that point, a new lease had to be renegotiated with the county, and under the new lease, it was still consistent with the old lease and using the land for recreation purposes.
But no formal requirement?
No formal requirement, as far as I know.
Thank you. What's the assessed value of the lands today?
For that question, I'm going to turn that over to Corey Graham, who's with Municipal Lands.
Thank you.
Good morning, Council. I'm your Municipal Administrator, Corey Graham. Actually, that information was released to Council in camera, and in that report it had stated that all information related to the appraisal and any of the valuations were to be remaining in camera. If we were to release that information today, we would actually, if you wouldn't mind, we could definitely do it, but we would be required to go in camera, if I can make that recommendation at least.
Is not the assessed value a public document?
Well, the assessed value versus the appraised value. So the assessed value would be from the town of Cochrane, and so because we're a non-taxable entity, the number is actually significantly lower than what the appraised value is.
Okay, I'll just move on then. And the next item was that no council decision as a whole made a resolution to dispose. Now, is that, it has any council dealt with this land before?
So my understanding, if I might, is just the 2016 direction that we received from council to go to RFP. And since we did not receive any proponent offers that were acceptable, that would be the only time I'm aware that council has addressed this land from that perspective.
Did we receive any offers?
We received one that was under consideration.
Okay. So, you know, this piece of land is not in anybody's division. This piece of land is sitting in the municipality of Cochrane, the town of Cochrane. Is that correct?
That is correct. Actually, if I might, as I'm a technical assistant here, I might return this back to Corwin so he might be able to address, as this is his report, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Thank you.
This piece of land, it's in the town of Cochrane. They control it. That's correct, right?
Well, they don't control, but they certainly control the zoning and land use.
And then what's happening around that piece of land? So, like, what is the Cochrane's plans for, you know, all around it?
Through the chair, it's definitely residential growth is going around, and definitely continued growth is being expected and has occurred in Cochrane over the last 10 years.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to give up the mic for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kissel.
Through the reeve. Could you tell me what it is zoned now? What is the long-term plan that Cochrane has today? We know that plan can change, but what are they looking at it as today?
Through the chair, currently the land is zoned as public services land, and through their open space master plan, they've... they have the intention to keep it that particular way just due to the recent needs assessments and discussions that have ensued with stakeholding groups that they are short on open space and all likelihood have to retain that particular land for parks purposes or open space for long-term recreational use.
Thank you. Do you know, has there been a community like Cochrane where a piece of land, a large piece of land, is owned by one county in the jurisdiction of another county, and how have they worked together to come to some sort of resolution? Because right now what we have is a bit of a struggle going on. And so I guess my biggest question is, how do we bring everybody to the table? Have we done this before?
Through the chair, it's interesting enough, but this probably has happened in urban areas in the past. However, I'm not quite aware of the processes that were used collaboratively to find solutions to be able to dispose of lands in a particular jurisdiction that would still allow for either continued use or a reduction of conflict between groups and municipalities. But we do and have been currently dealing with the same experience in Chesmer as well. And that situation has not been an easy one, but again, it still requires the collaboration of both municipalities to agree upon common goals and objectives in order to make sure that solutions are discussed, in order to make sure that residents have the service levels that they require for the long term. So again, I can't answer your question directly other than the fact that we need to bring both municipalities to the table and key stakeholders accordingly to be able to actually understand what the long-term and best use of the land would be. And to date, that discussion hasn't occurred, and it's probably timing that that does, in fact, occur.
So to move us forward, because right now we have a ag society that needs an answer. Time is ticking for them. Rocky View County, we as a board here and council, we need to figure out what is the best use for our residents. And obviously the town of Cochrane will have a say as to what they would like to see. What do you see for a board? If we were going to bring a board together, what do you see from the recreation side as to who would be best to sit on that board?
Through the chair, it wouldn't be up to me. However, I would kind of have to rely upon the fact that the use of boards and committees within the county overall are a form of, an opportunity for the public to be involved, and it's a method of very effective public engagement. With that said, the committees are only effective when there is meaningful representation of a variety of different groups to bring a variety of different ideas and solutions to the table for consideration. And again, if it's advisory in nature, then a terms of reference needs to be created accordingly based on what the long-term or the goal of the committee is, and to provide advice to both municipalities for long-term use of land. So again, I'd have to be taking a look at a board that is representative of probably major stakeholders in addition to the two municipalities that are involved, and with that, a terms of reference could be created based on what should be accomplished. Again, some of that was discussed at the IMC meeting that was held between the two municipalities a couple of months ago, and therefore we just need to probably take that further and bring those terms of reference both to each council to agree upon in appropriate fashion sometime in the near future.
Thank you. This might be just to administration in general. Do we have any kind of an agreement currently if we sell the lands as to how the Ag Society would move forward? What kind of funding is available? Do we have anything like that in writing? Have we come to any sort of, when we decided to put it out and decide if we were going to see if we were going to sell it, did we look at that? Did we figure out a number that would work or not?
Through the chair, to the best of my knowledge, no.
Okay, thank you. I'll let this go for now. And
thank you. Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Good morning, it's Rita Reeve. Have we heard about the tri-party concept plan?
Point of information, Chair, by we, are we talking about this council?
Sure. I have a report called the Tri-Party Concept Plan in front of me, which looks like it was the town of Cochrane District Ag Society, Rocky View County, dated August 2013. I'm sure we spent huge, huge money. It was done by Urban Systems. It's quite a detailed report in my eyes. And before you answer that, I'm just going to maybe say I have a funny feeling some of this information that we might talk about might want to go on camera. That's kind of where I'm leading to this, but so I don't really want you to answer that question yet. I might let some of the other counselors go, but I really do think we need to move this in camera.
At this point, I'm going to ask for administration's advice on this. We are talking about land, and if we're going to start divulging and asking questions that were done in cameras, should we, obviously we should move in, or should we? Do we need that information?
So I can speak, Mr. Reeve, to the in-camera portion, and there are some sections of the Act that you could go on in-camera to discuss. So one is Section 24, advice from officials, so that administration can provide advice to council in-camera. And we could also look at Section 25, which is disclosure harmful to economic interests of a public body, of another public body.
Great. Thank you. We've got a few lights on, so we'll hear from these folks. We do have a request from the chair of the Ag Society to speak to council, so we'll deal with that in a few minutes. Councillor Wright.
Thank you, through the chair. There's actually mention in the motion of a number of studies here, but I'm looking through the report and they're missing. Is there a reason that we don't have copies of those when they were specifically requested?
Through the chair. As far as the report itself, to its Deputy Gucho replies, and was again introduced accordingly through the presentation that was made by the Society back in May. That report was made public through the Society itself, but it was not a report that was taken forward to either council of either municipality. Now, I don't have all the information because that's before my tenure and the rationale. We'd have to be able to find out exactly why that report wasn't brought forward for council's consideration. With that said, as far as including that particular report, it was thought that it's a relevant report that needs to be discussed, but we wanted to bring it forward to council consideration at the appropriate time because it is a fairly intensive report, and again, it is tied to the long-term discussion with the town of Cochrane accordingly as to whether or not there's any merits in that report for consideration. So we were, administration and my department will be bringing that forward report, and that report is available at any time for council, and if council would like to see that, we can have that disseminated as quickly as possible.
Through the chair, thank you. And not to put you on the spot, Mr. McCullough, I'm not pointing any fingers or anything, but that's the one report. What about the 2010 Ranch Lands Community Survey, the 2010 County Community Needs Assessment Survey, and the 2014 Town of Cochrane Community Survey? I don't see any of those in the package. I'm just wondering where they went.
Through the chair, and all that information again, is all related, but again, we wanted to make sure the report was concentrating on the motion at hand, and consequently, it really comes down to whether or not the motion, again, needs to be discussed, and due to the staying on topic, which is that the land in question is not on the disposal list, and keeping to that point. Again, it really is a bit of a challenge for sometimes to and yes, I'm on the spot, but how much information to bring forward for council to be able to consider, and at the same time bring it forward in the right times accordingly so council can get its full attention on a particular matter or issue. So again, if this report requires follow-up work, and I'm sure it will, we'll make sure that all that information is provided for council for their consideration.
Thank you. So through the chair then, so I'm a little confused, I guess. I know it's not directly requested in the title of the motion, but it is part of the motion. And I would assume that we would just be able to have that information, especially given the decision that we're being asked to, or that what we're being asked to look at. So at this point in time, I'm going to pass the mic over, but my thing at this point would be to put it at least on hold until we could at least get that information.
Councillor Hanson.
So, through the Reeve, just to be clear, what was the piece of land that was swapped, or is that an in-camera item? Because in researching this and gathering information from administration, it appeared that we could just buy this for a dollar with no other encumbrances. So are we entirely sure that there was a physical swap that actually happened? Is swap the correct word, or by swap do we mean we just bought it for a dollar off the province and promised to take good care of it?
Through the chair to Councillor Hansen. We actually swapped Northwest 22285 West 5, which is 160 acres of land, and that a value of that land that we had swapped was assessed at $308,500. Actually, I'll just... What's in front of you here is actually the title, the current title for the lands that we had owned and swapped. And as you can see now, it is titled to the province.
Somebody was stamping. Los Angeles. Is Los Angeles underwater?
I apologize. I don't know how to turn it off now.
Or Vancouver.
Sir, if there's no more further questions related to that, I can turn the mic back
just
over to Carl Corbett.
Asking questions, this seemed to just come to light in a rather recent manner.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that we had no corporate knowledge of what potentially led us to this situation. Would be my comment. But I did have another question for Mr. McCullough, though. So have you heard of Clearwater Park?
Through the chair, no.
So Clearwater Park was donated by a Springbank family to the city of Calgary, and it resides entirely in Rocky View and straddles the Elbow River just to the west of 101 Street. So that's another example of a big open space in another municipality. So our councillors know.
Is that piece of ground on a disposal list?
It is not. It's intimately related to the City of Calgary's wetlands education for their schools, as well as stormwater management for the new ring road.
I can remind council here that the gist of this item is to remove this property from the disposal list. That's it. So it's nice that, and I think we know that we have a property, we have another greater shed in Airdrie, that or a lot in Airdrie that's in another municipality. So that's common. Anyway, to remove it from the disposal list is the motion and the request of the notice of motion. Go ahead.
So my other question is potentially around wording. So this book that we received is the 2017 County Land Disposal Review, and that piece of land is currently in this book. So when we say on the disposal list, because we have a shorter list, that we worked and actually approved on what we wanted to sell, are we playing games by saying, well, it's not on this one because really it was in the 2017 one and we haven't yet produced the 2018 one? What do we mean by disposal list, and are you making council look silly because we're asking questions about, you know, does administration consider this surplus land or not, is the core of our questioning, and are we just trying to pretend it's on one list or not another? What was the intent of a disposal review list in 2017?
Through the chair to Councillor Hansen. So that list was actually an undertaking by Municipal Lands, looking at the pre-designated list of our uses that the MGA identifies, as well as our Parks and Open Space Master Plan, and the reviews and the technical outcomes from that statutory document. And we looked at all our holdings that we had as a county, and we identified lands just as municipal lands. These are lands that we should potentially consider. These have not gone through a higher level of consideration. This was just brought to council's attention as something that to think about. But you will note that our working list, which is like our low-hanging fruit, you might say, and lands that are achievable, are also neither part of a Parks and Open Space Master Plan. They were really the only statutory document we used for those was the Active Transportation Plan, just to see whether or not there was alignment. But so that's really what that document is just if you look at our statutory documents that are in existence today, these lands are not captured in those documents.
So for the purpose of our motion, maybe a question to our legal help. What does disposal list mean at this point? Because you have a working list, you have approved council motions to dispose of lands. When we said it's not on the disposal list, what does that mean from a legal technical point of view?
So I would love to give you an answer to that, but unfortunately I don't have all of that answer. Perhaps Mr. Nelson can help with that.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, if I could address Council, I'd really appreciate it, and I think I can clarify Councillor sure. Hansen's question. What you have is the bulk document is basically all the lands that were put up for review that says these lands are available, they have no real technical purpose within our Parks and Open Space Master Plan. At that time, we were seeking Council's feedback on those parcels as well. So if you recall, Council was engaged to give us some feedback on these parcels. Is anything here have something that we're unaware of as part of that initial review? From that, on June 10th, you would have got a listing of our disposal plan for 2018. That included 11 parcels, largely abandoned road allowances that are now fee simple, that absolutely had no technical, recreational, community, and we were going to offer those out to the marketplace. So that is your disposal list. Council has approved that, and we're actively acting on that with Council's approval. Anything else is merely for review and subject to a future Council approval if deemed suitable.
Okay, because I think Council was recommending not to remove it from our short list because we know it's not in there, sorry. But we were considering removing it until we understood the situation better from even the potential list. So somehow our request to have it removed from our thinking as what that it's really surplus seemed to get sidetracked, and that was the main purpose of the motion, was to slow down, get educated, and be able to make good decisions about this.
If I can just step in here as the only one that's been here before, Council did direct administration and assisted administration in some of the talks, and the review is the key word. We wanted to know about all of the properties owned by the county, whether they were municipal reserves, environmental, PUL lots, whatever they were. We wanted to know what they were, and so the disposal review was how many properties do you want to hang on to, and which ones don't we need. Now, as Mr. Nelson said, they did bring forward a list of a few road allowances and whatnot, of which this property in question was not on. It was certainly on the review. Our grader sheds were all on the review, everything we own. So I don't think there's any games being played here or anything suspicious. Council was involved in this. You're a new council, and you have the list, and if you want to remove things, this is the process to do that. And whether or not it happens is another thing. But this was all up front. Council knew about it. Council took part in it. So anyway, I hope that helps clarify a little bit.
Well, sure. I just want to make sure that our original intent of the motion is being carried through, and it seemed like we maybe it's a pure education thing. So, yes, it's a very poorly worded report. Disposal review. Maybe it should have been put a different title. Anyway, thank you.
Councillor McIler.
Thank you. Through the chair. Mr. McCullough, you mentioned that the land is currently zoned public service. What other uses does that entail for Cochrane?
To the chair, as far as I understand, it's very similar to our institutional uses that go on our own public services land. So we could be using that currently for institutional use as long as there's a recreation, you know, mandate. In addition to, say, RCMP, community services, anything that would be more benefiting the community that, again, is nonprofit in nature. So
it's a school, a graveyard, all of those. I think those are. I'm just trying to recall.
No,
what's in ours.
As far as school, that would fall under a different. And of course, it's a situation, of course, where we have to take a look at the type of land, and we are talking about fee simple lands, which again are not MR or MSR. So again, those are different. Need to be treated differently accordingly. But if they ended up purchasing land, of course, they've got the ability and control to be able to change that zoning to be able to be direct control or whatever they see fit based on whatever their requirements are. Their needs are as a municipality.
You mentioned earlier that Cochrane has this in their plan. Excuse me, I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. But basically, they've got this allocated for green space in their master plan. Have they made an offer to purchase this land from the county so they can preserve that?
Through the chair, and yes, you're referring to their open space master plan that
Correct.
Was approved in 2012. As it stands right now, they're looking at it from an environmental perspective, and they'd like to preserve it for those purposes. So at least that's what, unless they've made any recent amendments that I'm not aware of to their open space plan, and no, they have not made an offer to purchase at all.
Thank you. Surplus doesn't mean for sale. I mean, it just means that we're not planning to develop it. And that's all that means, right? For our own purposes, that's correct?
In principle, that's correct.
Perfect. I want to go back to Councillor Wright's question about the reports. Were any of those reports listed adopted by any council? Our council, just our council at any time?
As far as I know of, no.
Okay, so that's probably why they're not in the report. I'm because they weren't adopted as documents that we should be looking at. Is that correct?
To the chair, and to answer your question, we, again, it was about opportunity, whether or not we were bringing new information that was not necessarily brought forward or was not a part of the presentation that was made by the society back in May. So, sorry, does that answer your question?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to find out is, do we not have them today because they weren't adopted by a council? I'm thinking that's a yes or a no question. It's...
I don't know why they weren't brought forward by either council. Again, I'd have to find out exactly and report back to be able to answer your question.
Thank you.
Unless, of course, there's a member of administration that recalls why they were not brought forward.
Thank you. I'm in agreement with Councillor Wright. I really don't feel like I've got enough decision or information here, and I do like the committee idea approach. And before we can, make a determination, but we talk about, lands that turn into a public park, and I took the time to research Nose Hill Park, and so I want to mention that because, Nose Hill Park, when it came in, was on the outskirts of town. Basically, it was within the city limits, but at that time, there was nothing to the west of that, and I'm sure residents of the country folks at that point enjoyed those lands, and you used to be able to trailer in your horses there, and there actually was a stable on the west side of Nose Hill Park, but over time, as development happened, as it did around it encircles Nose Hill Park, too many conflicts, horses conflicted with bikes, with people, with dogs, and so horses went away. Then bicycles conflicted with people and dogs, and so bicycles were limited to certain areas of the park now. And now even dogs are limited because people inevitably win. And so, I think we need more information about, the benefit to Rocky View over the long haul and the benefit to Rocky View County over the long haul. And I just don't have a good understanding of that today. So I do think I need more information for sure.
Thank you. Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you, through the chair. I think we have to understand as council that we're here today to try to figure out should this lands be taken off the disposal list or not. And I agree with the Reeve that we need to kind of focus on that. If we want to start talking about other reports, I highly encourage again, and I've said this, we need to go on camera on some of these discussions. So if we're focused on what the motion was, what the report is all about, it is, do these lands need to be taken off the disposal list? So I encourage council to understand what we're actually looking at and go forward. I have some questions. Why should this land be sold, et cetera? I mean, I don't think I want those answers, because I think some of those answers, if we're going to go down this rabbit hole, need to be in camera and have that discussion. So, again, kind of encouraging that. I know there's talk about lots of reports that saying we have them, we don't have them, they're public, they're not public, and I think if that's the case, we need to move in camera to find out all the information and open up the file to everybody. If we want to go down that rabbit hole, that's what I'm encouraging. And I'm kind of hearing we're a little bit there and we're a little bit not, so I got to echo the Reeve. Let's look and focus on what's in front of us, please.
Thank you. Actually, I just discovered, brainwave, it is not on the list of disposal. It's on the review. So I think you've achieved your goal. It's not on the disposal list at all. It's on the review list, period. So, but we can go on. Councillor Shule.
To the reef, I'm glad you mentioned it because this is what I was going to say. I'm not sure what we're discussing here that much today because you're right. It's not on the disposable list. But one thing I want to just make more of a comment here. If we were going to try to dispose it, I'd be totally opposed to it. So I'm going to go and start talking about why this motion is here. And I feel any time we do have any kind of recreation facility, or especially such a large parcel, is very difficult to get for recreation purposes. So I'm just making my comments that I would be very opposed to trying to get rid of this land, sell this land. I think it's very valuable to the residents. I would love to have 120 or 140 acres or whatever it is in my area. If somebody was trying to even thinking about selling it, I'd be opposing it. Recreation lands are very difficult to come by, and once they're gone forever. So those are my comments, and I just hope that somebody will make a motion that these lands are not for sale, and let's move on. Thank you.
Well, we should do a study and figure out what we're going to do with Chestermere, too, then. It's recreation land. Councillor Wright.
Through the chair, thank you. So I'd just like some clarification. Let's assume we are disposing of these lands. Where does the money go if the lands are sold? Does it come back to the county's coffers, and is it redistributed amongst all divisions for rec purposes? Does it go to the reserves? Does it go to schools? What provisions have been made for the existing users of the land? So if we're going to go down this rabbit hole, I'd like to know, because we keep hearing time and again that certain individuals have different ideas as to where the money should go, and I just don't really know where it's going to go. So if you could clarify that for me, I'd really appreciate it.
Through the chair, to answer your question, these are fee simple lands, and if they're disposed, the proceeds of the land sale go into the tax stabilization fund unless there's alternative direction provided by council. As far as how those proceeds are dispensed would still have to fall any legal requirements or commitments that are outlined within current lease or occupancy agreements. In this particular circumstance, at the term of the lease, there is no requirements for any compensation after the fact. And again, that information would be brought forward at the appropriate time to council for their consideration as far as where and how they would like to use those funds for other initiatives or projects. So hopefully that answers the question. There's no further clarification because right now we don't have it articulated as far as, and there's been no obligations made at all to share on those proceeds at a later date. There's no obligations because, again, you're limited as to what you can agree to right now in the present as opposed to what could transpire in the future, and you can't bind essentially the next council to anything that's not feasible.
Perfect. Thank you. So, fee simple lands, thanks for that. And I guess the other clarification I'd like to have is, the lands that are in Horse Creek that we keep hearing about, are they only if we get rid of the Cochrane Ag Society, or can we not have both?
So, to the chair, can you clarify, are you referring to the Horse Creek Road that's outlined within the report, or is this a different site?
The lands that, so there's a lot of rumors going around, right? And I'm getting information, and I've heard of the land and that Cochrane's looking at where there's a potential to move to. Is it that if we get those lands, we have to give up these lands, or can we not keep both? Could we not keep the Cochrane Ag lands and then still utilize the 120 acres or 160 that are over on Horse Creek Road, and then have multiple recreational facilities?
So through the chair, if you recall, those lands on Horse Creek Road were recently were in the process of being annexed by Cochrane, and they will be owned by the town of Cochrane. So therefore, any use or occupancy of those particular lands is under the control of town of Cochrane. So again, we don't potentially have any influence over whether or not there's any groups that end up moving from the lands to which the society currently resides and whether or not they're able to move up there or not. So again, that's essentially out of our influence to be able to do that. It would be up to the town to decide who ends up moving and at what point.
Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Kissel.
Okay, so we've made a motion, and I guess it would have been nice if administration had explained to this council that we have two lists. One is the suppose we might sell, and the yeah, we're going to sell list. But it also does not erase all the media that we've seen about how this land was for sale. I actually have a listing. It was for sale. We can call it whatever we want. So in order to move this forward, I think we need to have more information. We have to make a decision that's good for everyone. That includes the Ag Society, all the user groups, our residents. Town of Cochrane is a player, but they're a small player. So I'm going to move for a motion, and I'll get Tyler to put that up for me. I'd like to move that administration be directed to provide a detailed report to council on September 11th, 2018, in camera, providing a complete overview of the history of the 146-acre parcel of Rocky View County lands leased by the Cochrane Ag and District Society, and the report must also include the following: the entire justification based on recreation from the original motion should remain. Copies of the studies completed, including the 2010 County Community Needs Assessment Survey, the 2010 Ranchlands Community Survey, the 2013 Tri-Party Concept Plan, and the 2014 Town of Cochrane Community Survey. Number three, all past reports to Council, including proposed motions and final resolutions. Number four, any and all proposed offers of purchase on this land. Number five, an understanding of the policy and ranking criteria that the Municipal Lands Department uses to determine that lands are surplus. Number six, the understanding as to how lands are placed on a disposal list for the county's final approval. Number seven, all copies of titles, transactions dating back to the 1900s. Number eight, outline and description of all public engagement sessions and surveys. Number nine, listing of the lands for sale and all correspondence offers in response prior to or after the listing was closed. And number 10, any evaluations and assessments and their determinations to the land usage.
So, speak to the motion, Councillor Wright.
Through the chair to Councillor Kissel, just a question. Why does this have to go in camera?
I can probably help there. There's issues there that involve offers that were never made public, that are private, that are confidential. Sorry, can I get the mic back? No.
So
there is issues within that motion. If this motion passes, there's issues that need to go in camera.
Okay, so could we not get the information, all the information that is available to the public, available for the public, and the rest of it we go in camera on? I don't know. I want this to be as transparent as possible, because I think that's where the problem is.
This is done through a process of amendments.
Okay.
Councillor McIler.
Through the Reeve to Councillor Kissel. Can you please explain to me the difference between number 9 and number 4, I guess? And I guess what I'm asking is, are we mixing or not mixing up? I guess is our intent to deal with these lands in particular with this motion, or is our intent to deal with all lands, that which is a much bigger conversation, that are in our disposal list review?
Thanks. Councillor Kissel.
I think today we're talking about the ag lands, And do we need to look at all of them? Maybe down the road. But I think right now, everyone who's involved with this land, who has vested and put their volunteer hours and their dollars, they need an answer. And so, yeah, in the big picture, we do. But right now, today, we need to deal with the ag lands. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So it seems to me, just as a friendly amendment, this, because we're talking about lands and all the lands, that this needs to be tidied up a little bit as it relates to just this piece of land for this motion. So that would just be a suggestion. The other thing is, I would like to see, if you're open to a friendly amendment, is I would like to see in this report, and it actually goes to what Councillor Shule mentioned, is if this land was sold and X amount of dollars came out of those lands, and a council, whether it's this council or another council, said all of those monies are going to be used for recreation across our division, so actually in our divisions, what could that buy in Langdon, and what could that buy in Division 9, and where could we actually, so I'd like a comparative report to see if we have this piece of gold in here, how many pieces of silver could we buy? And so I think that's important for in this report for this council to consider as well. So I'd like to suggest that we, again, we look at, you know, what could we get if we did sell as well.
Could you maybe just take the time to write out a formal motion, amending motion?
Yeah.
Yep. If you don't mind, like that one was a little lengthy.
So where you lose me on this is I have a community that's invested 20-some years into this land. And so you're asking us to consider selling it, this community's work and investment, and divvying it up. Is that what that you're saying?
Sorry, no, that's actually not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if we're actually examining the big picture, though, we need to examine the big picture. And so I think council has to understand what that would look like. That doesn't mean that's the end result. But if we don't understand what the value of the asset is, and if we took those dollars and actually invested it in Rocky View County lands, it's one more tract. It's no different than sort of looking at the history. It's no different than figuring out the current value. But we have to have all the information so that this council can make the best, most informed decision. And that is part of that equation. And I think that in order for council to know, they have to know. So, and I need to know. So it is a part of everything that I would need to look at, because I certainly, you know, I think that, you know, if someone were to ask me today if I was going to invest $1 million, $2 million, $10 million on a piece of recreational land, and we were just doing that net new today, would we buy that land in somebody else's municipality? I don't know the answer to that, but I think we need to look at that as part of our overall holistic, unbiased view of the world. And if we don't look at it, we're actually predetermining an outcome, or we're saying we already know what the outcome is, and I don't think I'm prepared to do that today.
Okay, we're still going to need an amending motion, should you like to go ahead. We'll hear from two, and I think the dialogue between the two of you, we can probably let rest now. Thank you. Councillor Shule.
To the Reeve, I look at this motion and I'm trying to understand exactly what we're trying to accomplish, because we already know it's off the disposal list, so I'm trying to understand why we'd be putting so much staff time into going through all this when we could make a decision easy. My question is to staff, how much staff time is going to be required to go through all of this, and if we need some time to review it, I'm okay with having this table till later even. And that my last question is going to be, we're talking about studies that council has not approved or seen, or so what whatever you want to call it, what does it have to do with Can we take that into consideration, I guess, is what I'm trying to understand. Because we are, do we take studies that, there's all kinds of studies out. We don't really know who done the studies, how accurate they are. So should we even be looking at those studies? I need to know, have that kind of information before I could support any of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you, through the chair. Al kind of stole some of my words, and I'm kind of looking at this motion to Councillor McKeiler's question. I think number four might cover some of that. I know it's a little bit vague, but if we are going to go down this rabbit hole, I think some of that will cover and come out in an in-camera discussion. To Councillor Wright's comments about why should this be in camera and why shouldn't it? If this motion passes, I encourage it not only to be in camera. Some of the information may be after camera that comes out. That is public information. We can release it then. I just don't think we should be pulling things apart today. I think we should go on camera, have a discussion. But I think we're off track here. The motion is this on the disposal list or not? So, you know, it's not on the disposal list, you know, then we should just make, you know, that. I mean, I'm kind of in support of everything, but I'm not, again, I don't know how much staff time it's going to take. Are we wasting staff time to go through this process and understand it? So I'm kind of echoing Al's.
Thank you. Actually, this would be considered a motion arising, I believe, would it not? Yeah, so we'd... maybe I shouldn't have allowed this motion yet, but it's here now. So, Councillor Hansen.
To answer Councillor Shule's and Gautreaux's line of questioning, we were approached by the Cochrane and District Ag Society to with a business plan that they presented to us, and we were not educated enough to consider all the aspects of making a decision surrounding what was potentially a request from them. So we sought to gather more information. There is a time sensitive, there's a lease running out, and we have to make some decisions on what we want to do in response to the business that the Ag Society wants to conduct. So it's only fair that we put enough work in administration's time, our time, considering this very carefully, so that they can move forward and we can move forward with our chunk of land. So it's for a very good purpose that has timelines associated with it because the lease is running out. Sorry. So there will be future business to deal with this. It's not just whether it's on the disposal list. That was the first step. Let's park it, slow down, get educated, and then we'll be making some important decisions either later this year or early next year.
Okay, I think we've debated this significantly. So we're going to take a 10-minute break and allow Councillor McKeiler the chance to put an amending motion forward, and then we will deal with that at that point. Oh, and I'd like a motion as well to hear from Mr. Burwash, if the chair of the Cochrane District Ag Society. Right now, a motion just to allow him to speak. He doesn't have to speak right now, but if we can get a motion. Seeing nobody putting their light on, Councillor McKeiler.
I'll make a motion to allow the President or the Chair of the Cochrane Ag Society to speak.
Thank you. Councillor Shule.
Okay, if we're going to allow one person to speak, how many are we going to allow any more to speak? I guess that's a question.
That will be up to Council, but I can tell you that we are a landlord and they are our lessee. And no other group is involved with Rocky View directly. We have a lease on this piece of property, and the chairman of the group that we lease this property to wishes to address council. This has not been through a public hearing process. You can't argue that everybody in the world should be allowed to talk here. We're simply talking about something that has already happened because it's not on this list. So we're really wasting a whole lot of public time here and council's time debating something that is already done. Councillor Wright.
I am in line with Councillor Shule. If we're going to allow Mr. Burwash to speak, I think we should allow everybody to speak.
Well, that's great. You can make a motion to that effect. Right now, we have a motion to allow Mr. Burwash. All in favor? And recorded vote.
In favor.
Opposed.
In favor.
Opposed.
Opposed.
In favor.
Opposed.
Opposed.
That has been denied. So we'll take the break. Okay, if we can get everyone to take your seats, we'll call the meeting back to order. Today. If Councillor Shule, if I could ask that we get your motion after, we'll deal with the amendment and then we'll deal with this motion and then we can have a motion to go in camera. Excuse me. Okay, we're back in order. We have an amending motion. Would you care to read the motion, Councillor McCutter?
Thank you, through the chair. I'd like to make an amendment that the main motion be amended to the following, that a comparative report be provided to describe what Rocky View County could purchase within Division 9 with the proceeds. Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Wright.
Through the chair, I don't know if I can support that. Just because you can buy land doesn't mean that you can put on it everything that currently exists on the land of today, or if it's even comparable land that will have the same usage, I guess would be the best word. So I don't know if I can, at this point in time, I don't think I can support that amendment.
Councillor McCutler, if there's other questions related, then you can close. Okay. I will make one announcement. The item C1 and J1 have both been pulled from the agenda. For anyone that's here waiting for item C1 or J1, they will not be heard today. So we'll go forward. Anyone have any debate? Councillor McCullough, would you like to close?
Thank you. Through the chair to Councillor Wright. I absolutely agree with you on what you've stated, but this we're talking about the contents of a report, not what we would base a decision on. So I think this is what we've asked, that the motion on the main motion has to do with the information that we've asked administration to provide for us so that we can make a sound and educated decision. I think this piece of it allows us to make even, I'm going to say a more better, but that doesn't sound right. Even a better decision, because we actually have, and again, I don't know the answer to this question. I don't think anybody does. But I think if we don't include it, then we're not looking at this holistically.
Councillor Hanson.
Maybe a friendly amendment to the friendly amendment. instead of just saying what land, what roughly comparable land or something. Otherwise, we're going to be shopping for subdivision lands in North Cochrane Lake, something like that.
That would probably be friendly, would it not? Okay. Good. Okay. No further debate. I will call a question on the amendment. All in favor? And recorded vote. We'll start with Councillor Kissel.
Opposed.
In favor.
Opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
I'm opposed.
In favor.
In favor.
That is carried. So the amendment is there. So now we'll call the question on the motion up here as amended. And all in favor. Oop.
I'd like to propose another amendment to the original motion.
Okay.
I'd like to propose that item 5 and item 6 be removed.
maybe you could put the original motion back up so that council gets another look at what 5 and 6 are.
I'd also like to add another line to replace those two. And I have that ready, so we don't need to take a break.
Go ahead.
That a committee be put in place to study and assess the reports and information and report back to council. That a committee be put in place to study and assess reports and information and report to council.
You know, I think I know where council's going with this, and it's a lack of information that we feel we have. And I would like to propose an easy way to do this. Ask for a workshop. We can have a workshop that says everything. We can bring it in a report to council in public and save a lot of heartache to me. We'll have debate on this motion.
Thank you. Through the Reeve, I agree with Councillor Hand on 5 and 6. I think 5 and 6 really deal with our lands, generally speaking, and so Councillor Kissel clarified that earlier, that this, her original motion really had to do with a specific land, so I would support that. And I'm just not sure if the committee, I agree with the committee, so I want to say that, is this in conjunction with the report that staff is doing, so we work together on that, or is this separate to that work? And so I guess I just don't understand, but I absolutely agree that we need to look at this again, as I keep using the same word, holistically.
Councillor Wright.
Through the chair, with committee, do we need to establish at this time who the committee would be, or is that getting into the weeds?
Again.
To you, Mr. Reeve. That was one of the questions I was going to ask. It's a bit of clarity from Councillor Henn as to the composition of the committee, whether it's members of council, members of administration supporting, whether it's an intention to have Cochrane representatives attend the committee as well. Just some more clarity on what kind of a committee Councillor Henn is suggesting.
Do you want me to speak? I would definitely say some councillors from Cochrane, Rocky View, admin from Cochrane, Rocky View, the Cochrane Ag Board, and as well as the user groups that are on the Cochrane Ag Society Board. That comprise of the Cochrane Ag Society. I think we need to go quite broad.
Any further discussion? Councillor Hinn, would you like to close?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Call the question. All in favor? It's in writing. What do you want to put in writing? That can be a motion arising. All in favor? Recorded vote.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed.
Favor.
Favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
That is carried. So we have it now. We will vote on the main motion as amended right after this. All in favor? And recorded vote, Councillor McIler.
In favor.
In favor.
Opposed?
Favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
And that is carried.
I can only go left to right.
So now if we desire to set up this committee right now and give direction to administration, we need a motion.
Mr. Reeve?
Yes.
If I could suggest that administration could perhaps put together a draft terms of reference for council to review,
okay.
Just to give you something to edit from. If you could give me until the end of the meeting today, I could perhaps have something ready for you. If you,
if council agrees, that
delay this
sounds
until the end
progressive.
Of the
Deputy Reeve, control.
No, I have no issue with that, but not that I'm trying to steal Councillor Shule's motion either, but I think we really then need to move this part of the stuff in camera, too. I'm just kind of going from there, too.
Councillor Shule.
I thought Deputy Reeve made that motion, but in that case,
no,
I,
he did not
Deputy
make
Reeve,
a motion.
I will make a motion to go in camera, more for clarification, because I will explain later.
There's your motion up on the board. Could you just read it out, please?
That council move in camera pursuit to the following section of the Freedom of Information and Protection Privacy Act, Section 24, advice from officials, Section 25, disclosure to economic and other interests of the public body.
Disclosure harmful.
Disclosure, yep. What did I say?
You missed harmful, but that's fine. It's included. All in favor? Okay, good. So we'll go in camera and be back when we get back. Call the meeting back to order, and I need a motion to come out of camera. Councillor Shule.
I'll make a motion to go out of camera.
All in favor? And we are out of camera. So we need a motion for D1. I guess we don't. Councillor Hansen.
I would like to make a motion that the report regarding the removal of lands leased by the Cochrane and District Agricultural Society be received as information.
Thank you. Any debate? Seeing none, all in favor? That is carried. We will go to item D2. Go ahead, Mr. Jewison.
Yep. Good morning, Reeve and Council. My name's Stuart Jewison. I'm the Manager, Utility Services, here to present item D2. I'm pleased to inform Council that on May 28th, 2018, City of Calgary Council approved the extension of wastewater servicing to the Elbow Valley West development located along Highway 8.
Could I just ask you to just hang on for a second until the gallery's cleared? We've got a little visiting going on back here. Thank you. Okay, carry on. Thank you.
Okay. So again, I'm pleased to inform Council that on May 28th, 2018, City of Calgary Council approved the extension of wastewater servicing to the Elbow Valley West development located along Highway 8 in Division 3. The approval by the City of Calgary is conditional, however, to Elbow Valley West being included in a master servicing agreement between the City of Calgary and Rockview County. Prior to this approval, City and County administrations had been working on completing a master servicing agreement to replace a number of existing servicing agreements currently in place that are considered to be a bit outdated and not reflective of current operating environments. The new master service agreement would encompass all areas in the county currently receiving servicing from the City of Calgary under common and appropriate set of terms and conditions, and would now include Elbow Valley West. The master service agreement would also facilitate a more streamlined process for extending servicing to other areas in the county as agreed to between the parties. By entering into the master service agreement with the City of Calgary for wastewater servicing, the county can realize operational cost savings, ensure a reliable means of providing wastewater servicing to its communities, and could resolve a long-standing servicing hardship for the residents of Elbow Valley West. And for these reasons, administration recommends that council authorize administration to enter into a master servicing agreement with the City of Calgary for wastewater services. Thank you.
Thank you. Good news story. Yep. Any comments? Councillor Hanson.
About time.
How about a motion then? Thank you.
So I'd like to make a motion that council authorize administration to enter into a master servicing agreement with the City of Calgary for wastewater services.
Any debate? Seeing none, I'm really happy to see this come forward. This has been a long-standing issue for the folks out there, and hopefully this puts an end to it and gets some relief. Councillor Hanson.
Just like to provide some input that this community of 118 people have spent over $2 million on hauling sewage, approaching $2.5 million. And related to that, over $600,000 in civil suit legal fees. So when we are approving subdivisions and looking for interesting ways to solve problems, this is the kind of bad news story that can result when things don't turn out exactly as planned. And there's all kinds of reasons for why this happened, but if all the I's were dotted at the time that this was approved, this never would have happened. So there are real consequences to decisions that we make that don't follow our regulations that protect our public. So just an example of where the rubber hits the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further comments, we'll call a question. All in favor? And that is thankfully carried. Go on to D3.
Rick Williamaw, Manager of Engineering Services, here to present item D3, which is a request for direction to begin public consultation for the following proposed off-site levy bylaws. Regional Stormwater Off-site Levy Bylaw, C-7801-2018. Regional Water and Wastewater Off-site Levy Bylaw, C-7802-2018. And the Regional Transportation Offsite Levy Bylaw, C-7805-2018. As far as presentation, I can do two different types of presentations depending on what council would like to receive. I can do a short version, a very high level of what the changes in each of these bylaws are. Or I also have the ability to do a PowerPoint presentation, which would be more involved with actual numbers and how those numbers were calculated. So depending on what council's direction is, I can go either of those two routes.
Councillor Hanson.
Will we not ultimately see this again after public consultation?
Absolutely, you will.
Councillor Shule.
I would like to see the short version because I do agree the same thing.
I kind of thought that might be where you go. So,
but after you get that done, I do have a couple of questions, and if you could do me a favor and hide that Ford symbol, it's really it's kind of.
Councillor Hanson.
In all seriousness, is there any impact we would have on the public consultation process if we had the long version? I can't think of one.
There's no real difference as far as the public consultation process will be, either presentation that I do to council.
Councillor Hinn.
Through the chair, when you said changes, you meant proposed changes, right?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, it sounds like the short version would be sufficient. Thank you.
Okay, so then I'll draw Council's attention to page 3 of 129 or page 84 of 275. So this is in relation to the transportation off-site levy bylaw. Some of the main changes are that there's to the base levy. Previously, in our current version of the off-site transportation levy, it's based on a developable net acreage of 596,897 acres. In the proposed version, that is actually changed to 127,360 acres. Why is that? For the simple reason that administration does not anticipate that almost 600,000 acres of the county is going to actually develop where we would be able to levy those dollars. So what we've done is we've focused the transportation levy on area structure plans. So in areas that we have area structure plans, or in the case of Harmony, a conceptual scheme, those are the areas that we consider to be developable. And what we've also done on top of that, because we realize there will be some development outside of those ASP areas, is we've added 10% to that number. And that gets us to a developable acreage of 127,360 acres. Now, obviously, that has impacts to the costs of the levy. So we've done a couple of things to try and mitigate that. First, we've come up with a proposal to have an urban and rural split levy. So one levy will apply to areas that are mostly rural in nature, or and what that translates to is areas that are greater than 2 acres in size, or lots that are 2 acres in size or larger, as an average for that ASP. So that would be determined as a rural ASP, and wouldn't have large commercial areas within those area structure plans. The urban ones obviously would be residential that is less than 2 acres in size as an average, or ones that have substantial commercial areas. As far as the special area levies, there's no significant changes to any of the special areas other than special area number 2, which is the Conrich one, and that is to add in the McKnight and Stony Trail interchange. As I'm sure Council is aware, we try and fund 25% of provincial infrastructure as far as interchanges for, and really that is to try and help to accelerate that on the provincial funding model more than anything else. So in this case, that would have an impact of raising the levy approximately $2,000 per acre for the Conrich area, catchment area. Residential parcel sizes. So some of the exemptions that we've had in the existing transportation offsite levy, we have we're proposing to modify. The key one would be that in the existing levy, we have parcels that are greater than 10 acres in size are not levied. What we've tried to do, or what we're proposing to do in this version, would be that we're going to lower that number down to 7.4 acres in size. It gives people a little bit more flexibility with their parcels to get to smaller parcel sizes without having to pay a levy. So in this case, if they're below 7.4 acres in size, then they would be a leviable parcel if it's a residential 1 or 2 parcel. The other exemption that we've included is to consider an original home on a parcel. So if a person's splitting a parcel into two new lots, and there's an existing house on one of those lots, they're not adding any additional traffic with that existing property. So we're going to give them an exemption on that original parcel, which means they would only pay on the new additional parcel, because that's the one that's going to generate new traffic to the transportation network. So those are the key highlights of the transportation changes. What I'm going to do now is draw your attention to page 69 of 129 or page 150 of 275. These are going to be the summary of the proposed amendments to the regional water and wastewater offsite levy. In this case, what we've done is we've trued up the numbers based on current construction estimate costs, what we actually paid for when we actually constructed the water and wastewater facilities that we currently have. What that means in reality is a lot of the costs actually drop for the levies. In the different schedules that we have within the water and wastewater levy, A lot of those actually will drop on a per acreage basis, or at least that's what we're proposing. Now, what the other addition that we've done to the water and wastewater levy is we've added Bragg Creek. Bragg Creek was not previously in the water and wastewater levy because the levy actually predated the construction of that facility, those facilities. So that has been added in to that levy, and those are the main changes that we're proposing. Obviously, we will get public consultation and feedback based on that. Lastly, I'd like to draw your attention to, I just got to go backwards here, sorry. Missed the page. I'd like to draw your attention to page 43 of 129 or page 124 of 275, which is going to summarize the proposed changes to the regional stormwater offsite levy bylaw. What we've done here, previously the portion that we had for a stormwater levy bylaw only applied as far as CSMI. And what we've done with the CSMI is, as council would be aware, CSMI received a grant for stage one construction of CSMI. We've taken that number out of, obviously, what's levyable and, well, our portion of that grant portion, I should say. However, what we've done is we've also trued up the numbers for 2017 construction cost numbers, because that's the numbers that we have as far as rates. And we've also added in components that were not originally included in the CSMI portion of the stormwater levy, which was final design costs. We now have an estimate of that, and we've included that into the levy. And what that actually translates to is there's a slight increase per acreage on the CSMI area, and that's $99 per acre. So really that one, for all intents and purposes, pretty much stays the same. What we've also done in the stormwater levy is we've added a number of new areas. Now, these areas are all areas that are going to connect into CSMI eventually, but they require regional infrastructure to make that connection into the CSMI. So what we've done is we've included those, and those include the Conrich area, Langdon area, the Omni area, West Janet, and East Janet. And you can see the various numbers that that works out to be on a gross acreage basis. So those are the high-level changes that we've made to each of the bylaws, or are proposing to make to the bylaws. Our next stage, obviously, is to do public consultation. So that will be engaging the general public through a number of open houses that we'll hold. As well, we will be working with the industry, Rockview 2020, Build, potentially Rockview Forward is one suggestion that I've had before. As well, we will be working with anybody else that identifies them as a stakeholder, and we'll be listening and learning from them, basically understanding what their feedback is. In some cases, we will just bring that back to council for consideration when we bring the bylaw back, because some of those changes may not be supported by administration. And also, we'll be consulting with them because they may very well have ideas that we can incorporate into the new bylaws that make sense, that we can recommend to council. So those would be the two areas that we're looking for. So again, the motion that we're looking for, if we go back, motion we're looking for is that administration be directed to begin public consultation on the following proposed off-site levy bylaws: Regional Stormwater Levy Bylaw C7801-2018, Regional Wastewater and Wastewater Off-site Levy Bylaw C7802-2018, and finally, Regional Transportation Off-site Levy Bylaw C7805-2018. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Shule.
I've got a couple of questions. When I go on page 146 of 275 or on Schedule B, I'm trying to understand your Map A and Map B. Does that mean that Langdon is paying two levies, regional CSMI and CSMI? I need an explanation on that one.
Sure. All of Langdon is subject to the CSMI levy. And then certain areas of Langdon are subject to Schedule A2. Other areas are subject to areas A3. So I'm just going to try and draw your attention to the maps. If you turn to page 137 of 275, that would give you the area that's subject to Schedule A3 within Langdon. And correspondingly, if you go back a page, that is the area that's subject to Schedule A2 within Langdon. But yes, they would be on top of each other. So you would pay the base CSMI levy of $5,587 per acre, and then potentially you would pay the $3,188 on top of that.
So you'd be paying $20,000 per acre in levies in just stormwater in Langdon?
You'd be paying about $9,000 per acre on for stormwater levy.
Plus the $7,000.
No, the $7,000 is included. If you're looking at per hectare, if you're looking at per hectare, yes, it would be about $20,000 per hectare.
Okay. My other question is, obviously that was going to have to be explained to me, but a lot better. My second question is, I've been asking for a working spreadsheet, and the reason I would like that working spreadsheet to understand what the current levies are and the one that we can automatically put in the new levies and do a comparison. Mm-hmm. How are we doing on that?
We actually did forward a spreadsheet to you in relation to the new levies. It didn't compare the old ones. We could have that easily added onto that if you want.
If you could, because this way I could do a visual comparison.
Okay.
It's one thing that what you say, but if I see 120 acres and see what the new one is versus the old one, it'd be a lot easier to understand it.
Sure. Thank you. We can do that.
Councillor McIler.
Thank you. Through the chair, I guess further on to what Councillor Scholl just mentioned, because that was going to be mine as well, because we certainly want to be able to see a comparison and understand what that means in our respective divisions. So that's an important piece for myself as well. The second, you know, when we did the workshop to sort of prep us for this bylaw, there was information that there would be, you know, and again, I'm going by my memory, so I apologize, that there would be a credit type system. So for the, you know, if you're inputting and you're, you know, somebody's coming along and they're building the bridge, then they get a credit back on some of the other levies. And I don't see that in the summary. So could you tell me where that is or how that's being incorporated?
Sure. By all means, through the chair to Councillor McIler, the credit system, don't know if that's necessarily the terminology I would necessarily use, but in relation to that, if somebody is required as a condition of subdivision to build a road that is identified on our long-range transportation network and they're building it to the ultimate requirement that's identified in our off-site levy bylaw, if that's $100,000, let's say, and their total levy payable is $1 million, they would be credited the $100,000 that they're going to be spending building that road off of their $1 million that they're payable. So they would end up only paying $900,000. Now, if it was that they were $100,000 payable and they were building a $100,000 for road, then they would be subject to no levy in that case.
Can you direct me to where that is in this bylaw?
If you give me a moment, I can.
It's not in the short version.
I think it should be in the short version.
So if I can direct you to page 9 of 129 or page 90 of 275, it would be under the section determination of off-site levies, it would be point 23, which is the determination of the amount of each off-site levy amount in respect to each of the separate regional transportation infrastructure components of which an off-site levy has been imposed, as shown on schedules A1 through I. The total amount of off-site levies imposed with respect to the lands which will require the construction or upgrade of regional transportation infrastructure or which will impact regional transportation infrastructure as shown in Schedule J.
Thank you for that. When I read that, it's not really clear to me that it's as you stated, which is if a transportation offsite levy is $1 million and the cost of upgrading a road that's within our plan, as you said, is $100,000, that the net transportation offsite levy will be X. And so I'd like to see some additional work on that to make sure that's perfectly clear and understandable by anybody who wants to or is required to pay a levy and also pay for infrastructure upgrades.
That's a valid point. We can definitely tighten that wording up.
This is going to the public. That's the request here. If we can save our questions for the public hearing or input at a public, this is not a question time. So I think the general text is we're going to go out and see what the public has to say about it, read over the bylaws, and come up with the questions you have at that point. Councillor Henn.
Well, first to the chair, respectfully, I would like to ask a few questions, if that's possible. I guess the ball's already rolling, so sorry.
Have at it.
Ms. Kybel, sorry, if you'd like to interject, that'd be fine.
The caution I would provide council is that these matters are going to be going to a public hearing, and therefore I would caution against any councillor presupposing your position or stating a position on any one of the items. However, asking questions to clarify, so long as they are true questions and not statements in the form of questions, I think is something that... Oh,
20
bucks. Yeah.
Oh, Peg's over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Perhaps some clarification that there is no public hearing for these? Oh, sorry.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, and part of what Ms. Kybel said is correct, these bylaws are never a part of a public hearing, but they are an e-item that it's addressed by council in a public input or recognizing public input, what was gained, what was heard, what we recommend in terms of the changes in the bylaws when we hear from the public. That is the recognition. There has been times in the past where council has even considered the public speaking to the items, but it has not been held in a public hearing format. It is typically public input under the items for council's agenda.
Thank you. My mistake. It is not public hearings, but it does come to a public meeting, and we need to be careful about some of the statements made. So go ahead, Councillor Henn.
Thank you. Through the chair. My question, and I'll limit it to one, with that said, is it seems like there's lots of work done on this already. Was this work a council direction to begin with to increase these levies?
Through the chair to Councillor Henn, we've been working on especially the transportation one, for approximately 2 years now. It was originally direction from the previous council, and that was the direction to actually reduce the area down to a more developable land. That has gone through various revisions. Previous councils have seen it as proposed for first reading prior, and it has also been to a number of council workshops previously. And that's with each time we've also gone out to the public, looked for their input, which has led to revisions, which has gotten us to the point where we are today with the transportation level.
So, sorry, Byron, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, if I can just add to that, and And even today's bylaws, the way they are structured, there is an annual reporting that is in the bylaw to council. And that annual reporting that we provide to council is now a chance for administration to reflect what we feel the proposed changes are. So it's an ongoing process under your bylaw that we report into you on the changes that are necessary.
Okay. Thanks. I understood there was a review asked for in regards to area, but I didn't realize there was a review asked for in terms of increases. So, thanks.
Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you, through the chair. I'm actually very excited this is going to the public, actually, for their input. A little bit of my input that I don't see on here is what I classify as Tanner Estates, or just east of 791 that had for the CSMI projects, as well as for the east side of Glenmore, west of Langdon. I see they don't have anything on this report to do with stormwater. But I would like to actually move option one, that administration be directed to begin public consultation on the following proposed offsite levy bylaws: the Regional Storm Water Offsite Levy Bylaw, C-7801-2018, Regional Water and Wastewater Offsite Levy Bylaw, C-7802-2018, and the Regional Transportation Offsite Levy Bylaw, C-7805-2018.
Thank you. Councillor Wright.
Through the chair, does the motion need a report back time frame? The report says fall 2018, but it's not in the motion. Do we need to include that in the motion?
Mr. Chair, if I can start and look to Rick to finish. The part of the process that obviously we can't give you a hardline date is public input and the public open houses. We are entering into summer, and obviously we don't impose upon the public to be available for July, August in terms of attending these open houses. So we are looking at the September timeline before we start hosting those public open houses. From that, we'll have to understand what kind of input we get so that we can formalize a timeline of how we can assess and respond back. We'll be in a better position then to provide that context back to council when we can bring it back.
Did you have additional? No. Thank you. Councillor Hanson.
Through the Reeve, you talked a little bit about accepting or rejecting specific pieces of public input. Is council going to be able to see, I guess, all the gists of the public input, even if it's distasteful, and not just what applies specifically to a bylaw that was maybe included, not included? What was going to come back to us in terms of the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Through the chair to Councillor Hanson, what we will do is we will actually collect all of the input from the public and these other bodies that have been mentioned. All of that would be included in your package that you would see when we bring this back for consideration.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And Councillor Shule.
Sorry, I do have two more questions I've got to ask here. On the transportation bylaw, I'm trying to understand how you came up with those numbers, and I know, I guess I'll try to make this shorter here. I seen in the comparison, you're comparing other municipalities like Chestermere and Rocky View, but are we also taking into consideration the UPA, the difference between Rocky View and Chestermere or Strathmore, which has got a way higher density than what Rocky View does?
Through the chair to Councillor Shule, those numbers are just based purely on the per acreage rate that each of those other municipalities charge. So the unit, the density that we have versus them is not considered in those cases.
So we haven't considered the difference in the UPA then. Okay, my last question is going to be with the transportation bylaw again. And this is kind of, I guess I could ask this in a question. Are we actually subsidizing provincial responsibilities when we start putting levies onto building intersections, et cetera? So are we taking that in consideration that we might be subsidizing them?
Sure, Mr. Chair, and if I can try to respond to that, I would not consider it a subsidization. I would consider it trying to be a partner with Alberta Transportation, ensuring that we're building regional transportation. As we saw from one of our development
partners in the Balzac area, they are 100% responsible to build an interchange that was a regional benefit to everyone. And so when we created the special transportation levies, it was our step forward trying to say to Alberta Transportation, we recognize we should be having our developers pay some of it, but not 100% of it. And I think at this point, the province is recognizing that's a value to them and are supporting us and the ability for us to help build some of this infrastructure. Because without it, I'm not sure if we'd ever see a lot of provincial money coming down to this area to build some of these regional benefits.
But doing this, wouldn't you also see that the province putting our stuff further down the list just so they know that we will be putting our money into it to move it ahead on schedule? I think that's just it's kind of a dangerous situation, and I would really like to see a comparison with some of the other municipalities, how they're putting their projects ahead. I understand that a few of them, and this is some question here, I understand that a few of them are actually saying, okay, we'll help build this road, but we want the money back in the future. This is a loan from the firm. The municipalities. I did some research on this, so I'd appreciate some information back on that to see how accurate it is. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we can definitely have a look at that, but I've never heard of any sort of provincial money coming back to a municipality based on an investment of provincial infrastructure.
I can give you one after that if you like. Thank you.
That may actually help if you were to just send a quick email and ask for a request, and you can have it to yourself or direct it to all of council. That would probably help staff out quite a bit. Any further questions or speak to the motion? Seeing none, we have the motion on the floor. All in favor? And that is carried. Thank you. We'll go to item E1.
Good morning, Council. Doug Hafachek with Engineering Services. I'm here to present item E1, a transfer of lands to Rockview County and the designation of public utility lots. In February 2017, Rockview entered a contribution agreement with the Government of Alberta to plan, design, and construct the Bragg Creek Flood Mitigation Project. The agreement included budget to acquire lands required for flood carrier structures, and under the terms of that agreement, all lands are to be under the ownership of Rockview County and designated as public utility lots. To date, administration has signed purchase agreements for 9 specific properties, and supported by Section 665 and 652 of the MGA, it is recommended that the land transfers and designations be completed by way of a bylaw. Passing the bylaw presented today will allow the county to finalize the purchase of these specific lands and release funds to landowners. Therefore, in accordance with Option 1, administration is recommending that Council pass the proposed bylaw on the basis that it is consistent with statutory policy, consistent with Section 665 and 662 of the MGA, and that the land acquisition and designation is in accordance with the contribution agreement signed with the Government of Alberta. Thank you.
Thank you for the report. Do we have anyone make a motion? Councillor Hanson.
I'd like to make a motion that bylaw C7803-2018 be given first reading.
Thank you. All in favor? That is carried. Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
I make motion that motion 2 that the bylaw C7803-2018 be given second reading.
Motion for second reading. All in favor? That is carried. Deputy Reeve Gautreau.
I'll carry on. since my fellow member, Councillor Camachi, is just absent today, I'm sure he'd be delighted for this to actually happen. So motion 3 that bylaw C7803-2018 be considered for third reading.
Consideration of third, all in favor? And that is carried. And Councillor Henn.
I move that bylaw C-7803-2018 be given third and final reading.
Third reading, all in favor? And that is carried. Thank you, Mr. Avichuk. And we have J2.
Good morning, Reeve and Council. Jessica Anderson, representing Planning Services. Item J2 is located in Division 5 at the northeast junction of Highway 560 and Range Road 285, 1 mile east of the City of Calgary. The subject lands are currently developed as the Heather Glen Golf Course on a single title separated by the WID Canal. The purpose of this application is to create a 56.59-acre parcel with 103.86-acre remainder. The subdivision proposal is intended to facilitate the Heather Glen Industrial Business Park conceptual scheme and land use applications that are currently being processed. The applicant is seeking to separate the titles between the physically separate north and south lands of the Heather Glen Golf Course with this preliminary application to facilitate the ultimate development of the north portion of the course to a business park. The quarter section in which the subject land is located is composed of predominantly commercial and industrial land uses. Land to the north, west, and east of the site are designated for commercial, industrial, and business uses. Lands to the south contains the residential community of Prairie Schooner Estates, the rest of the golf course immediately south, and an agricultural parcel as well. No change in land use designation is proposed at this stage. Access to the northern portion of the property is from an existing pedestrian bridge that connects it to the southern portion of the lands. This arrangement is acceptable until such time as redevelopment of the lands is proposed. All requirements for water and wastewater servicing will be addressed as part of the conceptual scheme and land use applications currently in process. The development of the lands will be further contemplated at the conceptual scheme and land use stage. However, the applicant will be required at this time to dedicate lands for road widening and intersection improvements, provide cost recoveries to adjacent landowners for improvements to Range Road 285, and to pay both the transportation off-site levy and the stormwater off-site levy as applicable. The lands are located within the policy area, the Janet Area Structure Plan, and the Rocky View County City of Calgary Intermunicipal Development Plan, and the application was evaluated in accordance with these plans. Administration recommends approval of the application in accordance with Option 1. Thank you.
And thank you. Deputy Reeve Gautreaux.
Thank you. There was, and I just can't quite find it on my notes here, but when I was reading about it, they want to... the MR, they want to defer the MR to the other parcel is developed. I was reading in there somewhere.
Through the chair to Deputy Reeve Gautreaux, administration has recommended at this stage that municipal reserves be deferred, both on Lot 1 and on Lot 2 at this time. Development of Lot 2 is not proposed currently. However, we do have an application for further development of Lot 1. So the conceptual scheme application and redesignation application have been submitted for the proposed Lot 1, and administration would recommend that municipal reserves be considered at the time of that development.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to move Option 1 then, that the subdivision application PL 2018-0037 be approved with the condition as noted in Appendix A.
Thank you. Councillor Henn. I guess Hen Hansen starts with an H, tomato, tomato.
Through the chair, just an enlightening question, but because it's a private canal, is it as complicated to get bridge approvals as if it was a natural stream? Look into the future.
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes.
So it's not any easier, the fact that it's the WID.
And sorry for my short answer, but it's not just the WID canal. It's actually considered by Alberta Environment as one of the major headworks coming out of the bow. So it's a little more complicated than WID approvals.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, call the question. All in favor? And that is carried. Thanks for your report. So we need a motion to go in camera. And here it is. Could I get that motion, Councillor Hansen?
I can make a motion that Council move in camera to consider the emergent in-camera item budget adjustment request surface stabilization of Township Road 242 pursuant to the following section of the Freedom of Information Protection and Privacy Act, Section 24, advice from official officials.
Okay, thank you. All in favor? That is carried, and we will go in camera. Do you want to go to the committee? We'll meeting back to order. We need a motion to come out of camera. Councillor McGuire.
I'd like to make a motion to come in out of camera.
Come in out of camera. All in favor? Thank you. We are out of camera. Councillor McIler.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion that Council approve a budget adjustment in the amount of $250,000 transferred from the tax stabilization reserve to fund a calcium stabilization procedure for 4.9 kilometers of Township Road 242 west of Highway 22.
Mr. Riemann, did you have something to add, or are you just leaning? Okay. No comments. All in favor? Councillor Hansen.
So we talked a little bit about certain things in movie industries in camera, but this really is friendly to Calgary, and when we go and talk with our brethren at the GMB, we should let them know that we're doing these sorts of things to support this kind of industry in the region.
I believe Mr. Kaiser's here, and so it'll be in the paper. And on the website, and smoke signals, everything. All in favor? That is carried. I need one more motion.
Councillor reports. I just want to have one report I have.
Sorry, it's not recognized.
To the read.
Go ahead, give a report.
I just want to mention that the 21st weekend, there's Langdon Days. Everybody's welcome. It's a big thing in our community. We appreciate anybody wanting to come down and visit our beautiful hamlet and see all what's going on there.
Well, thank you for the reminder. Here we go. The lights are coming on. Councillor McIler.
Well, thanks, Councillor Shule, through the Reeve, because actually I have something to say with regards to Division 2. So the fall fair is also coming, and so I have sent a request out to two of my fellow councillors that I have not had a reply from yet, but also through to administration about bring Rocky View to Division 2, it's the fall fair for all of Springbank, of course, and I've only had one response from the economic development officer, and so I proposed a schedule, so I would really like your feedback before the next council meeting, because I don't want to be chasing you down in August. Thank you very much. And also from my councillors that haven't responded.
I'm looking at you.
I know you're looking at me.
Councillor Hansen.
Of course I will be there. I'm responding officially now. Al, will they be able to roll like balloon animals at the Langdon Days?
Anything you want to roll, you can roll it there.
Yeah, you can roll anything you want in Langdon. Okay, let's have a motion to get out of here.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor. Thank you. Thank you to administration.